Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Well, my God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The incomparable Son of Brother Marvin Sapp. Just wait on him. Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so while we just get in the Word. So if you would, you can get your Bibles, pens, and paper, and you can write down any questions or comments that you would have during the ministry. And we'll see if we can find an answer that will satisfy the yearnings of our hearts and the questions of our minds. And with that being said, I'll just pray and get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes as I that I may behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your Word, your Spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living Word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence, for there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds, that we may allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. As you cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men, as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, beloved, today we want to ask the question, if you would, is pleasing God the most important thing? You know, it's a truth that the way we think is the way we live, the life that we live. Our thoughts become the path that we approve. It will form our expectations unto our victory, or it will become the idle platform of our defeat. Your thoughts do that. That's why it is requested that we would bring every thought into captivity. Thoughts are meant to be conduits that end in the release of God's power. God's word that is active in your life moves you from glory to glory while you walk from faith to faith. I said God's word that is active in your life moves you from glory to glory while you walk from faith to faith. What happens is that you get an inspiration, a breathed word. And that spirit-breathed word will then cause motivation to be triggered in your life. It's not just a dissatisfaction, if you would, of being where you are, but it should become an expectation to go where you're called. See, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So he's not trying to tell you where he knows you already are. I'll say it that way. You don't fool God, pull the wool over God's eyes. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. So then he's not trying to bring you information because he just found out about it. See, he's trying to allow you to hear a truth that would cause deliverance. If the word is active in your life, then it opens up your understanding. That's what it says in Psalms 119, verse 130. It says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Not one time in that verse did you hear anything about condemnation because of how long you've been there, because of all the things you haven't done, you haven't completed, that God told you to do. No, he said the only thing that happens when his word comes in is it gives enlightenment. It gives light. Okay, we'll try it this way. The primary purpose of light is to allow you to move and traverse the land that you're in without stumbling. Okay? He could have told you, just because he's God, he could have told you what you were doing wrong without shedding light on it. Because his word is true. It's settled. So just because he said it, that's what it is. You know, sometimes we'll try to barter with God and we'll say, yeah, but I didn't feel the anointing. I didn't understand what you actually said. When it was very plain, it was written down. So he doesn't mince words or try to set up confusion in your heart. He calls you out of darkness and then translates you into a different kingdom, a kingdom that operates by light. But Jesus told us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, okay? He didn't say that men love darkness because God is telling you your deeds are evil. He was telling you that men love darkness because their deeds were evil. He was not condemning. Okay? He's giving us a chance to grow. He knows exactly where we are 24 hours a day. He knows what we are thinking. And the Bible says he knows your thoughts afar off. Okay? Before you can even mentally understand what you're thinking, God is already intimate with that thought that you have. See, we're not bringing him information that he doesn't already know about. I know some kind of way we think that's what we're doing. I mean, even Cain, when he killed his brother, and God came and asked him, "Where's your brother?" Cain had this real smart revelation. "I'm not my brother's keeper." And God said, "Okay, let me just tell you about conversations that you don't even know about. Right now, your brother's blood is crying unto me from the ground. Not only do I know you killed it, I know where he is. And I'm having a conversation because his blood is talking to me. You didn't hear this conversation. You were not aware of this conversation." There are the same type conversations happening in the spirit about your life. God is talking to Jesus, and Jesus is talking to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and he's trying to let that chain of communication be solid so that you will be able to take advantage of what Jesus is being told by the Father and what Jesus is telling the Holy Spirit to tell you. But we try to break the chain, if you would, because we're going to act like some of the things that we didn't do. Some of the things he said, we didn't hear. See, those are the thoughts that he's already dealt with. And yet, even with that knowledge, he still calls unto you and says, if you are heavy laden, if you've got any trouble and heavy, he said, would you do me a favor? Would you come unto me? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For the way I think about you, he says, my thoughts, my ways, my demeanor towards you is easy. And what I'm trying to get you to do is light. I'm not trying to lay the heavy stuff on you. I'm the one that's trying to get you to the end of the matter. And I don't want you to get to the end of the matter tired and fatigued. He said, if you come to me, I will give you rest. That's the exchange that God has made available for us. He tells us that the way of the transgressor is hard, but his way is easy. It's right. the thoughts that the Word of God should produce in your heart are meant to be conduits that end up in the release of God's power. I really hope you can see that. He wants you to get to the wall, if you would, turn the light switch on. Because when you walk around in dark, you have the ability to trip, A, and secondarily, you don't end up in the place that you're supposed to be in, the place of your calling, the place of your purpose, the place of your destiny. Why not? Because you're still standing in darkness, having thoughts that are not brought into the proper landscape will cause your destiny to be stalled. I don't know if you remember the story of Jonah and the whale, but God gave him instructions to go to Nineveh. And Jonah already had a concept of how bad and how wicked Nineveh was. And so he said, I'm not going there, because what's going to happen is you're going to forgive them. And I don't want them to be forgiven. I want them to have to deal with the mess that they made, as if Jonah actually had a part in that. But see, the thoughts that he had caused him to stay in his darkness rather than walk in the opportunity of light. Yes, God's light that shines into your heart will make everybody around you a participant in a new revelation, a new light. Not because you demand it, but because it exudes from you. He said men would look at, they want to see your good works. And when they see your good works, they'll then change their conversation. They'll glorify the Father. See? Let your light so shine. Why? So that men could see. Men that need, oh Lord, help me. Men that need a way out of the darkness that they're walking in need the light that you release and display. They just need that. And here we are saying, no, God, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to let my light so shine, because if I do, you go forgive them and you're going to let them off the hook. Even though I had to deal with you and we had to talk and discuss things at 2:00 in the morning, but I don't want to go. And so then Jonah had his mind made up that he was going to stay away, so he got on the ship and went in another direction. And God caused a tempest on the sea so that the people that were in the boat came and said, look here, this is serious. We ain't never been through nothing like this. But everybody go and seek your God to see if we can make this thing okay. And Jonah, I ain't listening to that. I'm not going to deal with that. And then they came back and they said, y'all, we got to get serious. And Jonah said, yeah, I know what the problem is. It's me. I was instructed to do something that I'm not doing, and it's my fault. So what y'all going to have to do is y'all going to have to throw me overboard, and I'm going to have to be the sacrifice here. And they said, no, oh, we can't do that, because we don't want the wrath of God coming on us. And they kept trying to do what they were supposed to do, but they couldn't get no victory because the tempestuous storm was against them. And they said, well, Lord, we're going to ask you, don't let us perish. This is Jonah chapter 1. He said, and starting at verse 14 here, says, Lord, they cried and said, we beseech you, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not this innocent blood up, for thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. Okay, that's how we got tied in. I didn't see that coming. You have done what as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. I heard it stated this week that sometimes the storms in your life were not caused by you. How about that? They could be caused by the people you connected with. And you won't do what God told you to do. God told you to come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Having therefore these precious promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Wow. And so sometimes the storms in your life are not just cause of you. They're caused because God's trying to get the attention of somebody connected to you. And here we are, either trying to protect or trying to accuse. Just do what God tells you and move on. And then when they saw that the men saw that the trouble was over, as soon as they threw Jonah over, they feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and had discussions because they made vows. See how if we do what God says, he will impact the lives of others, even though we still have to deal with whatever we cause as far as our rebellion. And then Jonah prayed unto the Lord because he didn't know what was going to happen. And he prayed to the Lord. Wait a minute, let's go back up. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Oh, Jesus, this was not the teaching. This just comes out. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I just want you to see that even though Jonah was acting a nut and Jonah was ignoring God, God set up a deliverance that Jonah did not understand and would have never chose. See, this is asking the question, is pleasing God the most important thing? And notice that the men even knew that this whole thing was because there was not pleasure to God. The Bible says that we were created for his good pleasure. See? I know we think that it's all about us. But no, this is the will of God that is released as an opportunity to you so that God can be glorified as God. There was no way these men were going to start making a vow, giving offerings and sacrifices to the Lord without this thing happening to what Jonah allowed in his life. So these are real things that we have to put up with, that we have to deal with. See? So Jonah then decided that he was going to do what God told him, and now he entered into a place of prayer. See? He entered into this place of prayer because God is wanting to have communication. Prayer is simply communication with God. See? So God is wanting that to happen in your life. And so then, because of all of the situations where he couldn't even argue with it anymore, see? He had to say, okay, God, you're the one, so let me know what I need to do. And God began to listen at the conversation. And he said, this is what Jonah began. I cried because of the reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. And please notice that he heard me out of the belly of hell. It doesn't matter how dark the situation you've allowed to be in your life. God is still listening for the contrite voice, the contrite heart. And that conversation could have taken place prior to the other men even having been involved, couldn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people's lives are we messing up because we don't simply do what God tells us to do? Not only are we wasting our time, we're affecting people. And we should be giving answers to people, and we haven't done that. And then Jonah recognized, you cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea and the floods, and compassed me about with all billows and waves that passed over me. And then he said, I'm cast out of your sight, yet I will look toward thy holy temple. He says, I don't even see you, yet I know what to do. My eyes on in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, our eyes are on thee. We don't know how this is going to end, but I know it cannot end the way that I would like for it to end without you. I'm in a situation that I cannot make it change. If there is a change required in your life, you can write this one down. If there's a change required in your life, it starts with you, because you're the one that has the seed. Amen. Okay, I'll even go further. You're not only the one that have the seed, but you are the ground. Amen. I can't plant into your life. I can place offerings of this, that, or the other into your life. But the seed, you have to plant. It's your ground, your heart, your earth. You can hear the words that are spoken, and everyone around you can be blessed. If you don't take the time to plant the word in your heart, you won't get a change. And generally, because you don't get a change, what's going to happen is you're going to begin to complain. You're going to begin to murmur. Because the same opportunity was taken by others, and you see fruitfulness in their life, and you're having questions and arguments about how come this can't be me. Because if you want the change, it starts with you. I've counseled with people that were having issues in relationships, and they were always demanding that the other person change. Well, we don't know that the other person wants change, because the change that you request in your life starts with you. Amen. As long as the earth remains, there shall be seed time and then harvest. So if I didn't participate in seed time, all I sat there and did is made demand, went back and talked to God about it again. No, it doesn't do any good. If you want to experience change in your life, it starts with the planting. I mean, these are simple principles, and we've heard them before, but yet we'll go day in and day out having situations that never get resolved because we're demanding change rather than doing what the Bible said. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, not the peace finders, not even the peace seekers. He says the ones that will be blessed are the peacemakers, the ones that do something about the requests and thoughts in their heart and mind. See? So we've got to get to the understanding that God is looking for a connection with his word, a connection that will not be broken. Isn't this what Jesus said? If you abide in me, John chapter 15, verse 7, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be given you. He says, if I can, you won't change. And I want to effect change. But that change doesn't take place until you abide in me, A, and my words abide in you. See, we can go to church. We can go to a fellowship. We can go to a Bible study time. And if we're not willing to change, take the seed, sow the seed, now we can receive from the seed. The seed then becomes fruit. Come on, y'all. You want to eat of the fruit, but you haven't planted the seed. I want to tell you that if you want to eat of the fruit without planting the seed, that's akin to robbery. Amen. You're eating someone else's crop. Amen. If you want to affect change in your life, it starts with the seeds that you plant. See? But we just want to go through. Okay, you want to go through and get pastor to fix it for you. Pastor can't fix it for you because you have to plant the seed. Okay, In order to plant the seed, these are just processes, just easy steps here. In order to plant the seed, the Bible tells us that we must break up the fallow ground. That's first. You have to prepare for the seed to be received. And then he says, after you have broken up the fallow ground, now you have to sow in righteousness. I don't know how you can sow in righteousness accusing your brother. I don't know how you can sow in righteousness with the Adamic nature still functioning. It's this woman that you gave me. It's them that causes my problems. No, your problems are there. Sorry, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 4 that you're supposed to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart comes the issues of life. Not out of my heart comes your issue. See? He's asking us to break up the fallow ground so that we can then sow in righteousness. And if we sow in righteousness, we would reap peace. Glory to God, y'all. I mean, he's the one that's interested in this happening in our lives in this time. Glory to God. I am very seriously trying to stay away from all of the social stuff that's going on because it is unfortunately unnecessary that we get entangled again with that. I didn't say we're not concerned about it. Our best responsibility would be to talk to God about it. And as we talk to him, I stay out of, I can now sow in righteousness. Yes, this is some issues that are very close and emotional. They cause our blood to boil. I get that. But I just want to remind you scripturally, and that's basically all I have is scripture. It says that the wrath of man does not employ the righteousness of God. So if I really want God to get involved, I need to disassociate myself with the anger that's easily found, that can easily beset us. Okay? The enemy has, this is exactly what the enemy does. Jesus said it himself. He said, while we slept, the enemy sowed seeds. Mm-hmm. See, and then you're looking for one thing, getting another. Now, because you didn't sow in righteousness. See, when I have this connection that the voice of the Lord is speaking to me, giving me my instruction, individually, he asks the question, he has, do you have faith? Well, if you have faith, have it to yourself before God. See? He wants you to be able to be the one that enjoys good at God's hand. But we're saying things like, okay, God, what I want to do is I want to enjoy the benefits of the corporate. And God says that he's interested more in the individual and the heart of the individual so that he can have a relationship with the individual. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. It didn't say get in a group and pray. I'm just reading scripture, y'all. It said humble themselves. That's an individual effort. He said, now, I will deal with the collective because I have the heart of the one. The heart of the one, the heart of the one can impact the society if I have the heart of the one. Just as a point of reference, you got to remember what was happening when Abraham was praying for the people that was in the sin that they were in. And he went to pray to God, and he said, Lord, could you, Father. He said, I just want to save them. And he said, if you can find 50 people that was there, 50 people that was righteous, Lord, would you save the city? And he said, yeah, I'll save the city. And then he said, well, no, wait a minute, Lord, what about if we can get down to 40 people, which is, yeah, I saved the city. But wait a minute, I'm coming one more time. What about if it was 30? Would you save the city? Yeah, I saved the city. Oh, Lord, let me just try to see, because I know the conditions. What about 20? Would you save it for 20? And he kept on saying, I'm going to trouble you just one more time here. If you find 10, would you save it for 10? And he said, yeah, I'll save it for 10. I believe, this is me, Stevie 2-2. I believe that if he'd have said, if you'd have found one, would you save it for one? Yeah, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. But he wants us to be able to connect with him so that the relationship of the one can then affect the corporate. But we're doing it what looks to be backwards. We're trying to flow in the corporate and expect it to get a result that way. That's not seed sowing. That's seed scattering. I can't expect that scattered seed is going to be as effective as sown seed. See, scattered seed might be on top of the ground. Sown seed has the ground prepared for it. So I'm ending up with guaranteed results then, aren't I? See, I mean, if we want to get Bible results, we got to do it the Bible way. And sometimes I can get the understanding that it seems slower, but it's guaranteed. And I like the guaranteed word, the word that is going to be confirmed. Okay, wow. In Mark chapter 16, it says that the Lord spoke to them and told them to do these things, go and teach and all of that. And then he said, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. So if I'm not utilizing his word, or as Jesus said, if my words abide in you, then I can confirm my word. The Lord watches over his word. He hastens his word to perform it. So then sometimes we need to ask the question, am I responding by giving his word back to him? So the word he's watching over is his word. Not just my desire connected to a fatigue because of all the things that's happening. We can see over and over in the Bible that when the people sought the Lord moved. See? He doesn't just move because you are emotionally connected and physically drained. That doesn't move him. He moves because faith comes into the place. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Everybody was grabbing Jesus, touching Jesus, pawing at Jesus, bumping into Jesus. It was a crowd, a complete throng. People's everywhere. And the lady touched the hem of his garment. I mean, I can hear intentionality in that word. It didn't say the lady was rubbed with the hem of his garment. It said the lady touched, because she had said in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. See, she had already resolved the issue. The execution of the thing she had resolved in her heart was waiting to be done by the master. And as soon as she touched, Jesus said, whoa, who touched me? And the disciples said, come on, JC, what are you talking about? Everybody's reaching for you, but everybody didn't get a healing. How is that possible? Everybody, there were people that came there that needed a healing, but they didn't go about it the right way from a fully committed heart. To say, this is what he said, this is what I'm going to do. I mean, she went in and found the word that said that there would be healing at the hem of the garment of the priest. She went and found that word and meditated on that word and activated that word and then executed that word. And as soon as she did, Jesus said, wait a minute, who touched me? No. I know somebody has come with a question in faith for faith to answer. This was not a question that was, when am I going to get out? When am I going to be delivered? No, this was a question that was asked in faith that only faith could answer. And Jesus said, no. I have felt, I perceive virtue has gone out of me. And then he turned around to look for it. That's something that Jesus does a lot. He looks for faith that's active. He looks for faith, not frustration, not fatigue. He's looking for faith. And whenever he connects with faith, movement in the spirit happens. And he turned around to see, ooh, wait a minute, y'all, wait a minute, wait, whoa. I hadn't seen that before. He turned around to see her that it touched. I mean, did you get that? He turned around to see her that it touched. But he asked the question in the natural, if you would, who touched me? I mean, just look at it. It's in Mark chapter 5. Wow. This is just some line upon line, precept upon precept teaching here. Again, this was not in the notes. This is just in my spirit. Starting at verse 25. Okay, I'll start 24. And Jesus went with him because the man was coming. His Jairus was there. He was trying to get Jesus to come and deal with her daughter because she was at the point of death. Jesus was already, okay, Jesus was already in his heart committed to do something because a request had been made. And so then, because of all of the people that were around him, Jesus went with him, and much people, not some people, much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had suffered many things of many physicians. Good God, man. Had suffered many things of many physicians. If this ain't running around, ring around the rosy, huh? I mean, she's trying everything, everybody. She had went through many things of many physicians. It would be one thing if you went through a bunch of stuff with one physician. She had went through many things of many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She was in what we would call a hopeless situation. She was at the end of the rope with the knot in it, still not any better, rather growing worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Why? Because she had said in herself, if I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing, we're talking about a words of wisdom, words of knowledge becoming active because a demand of faith in faith to faith was in process. Okay, see, she had already spent everything she had. So she had gone past fatigue, hadn't she? She had already suffered many things of many physicians. So she had already gone past fatigue. She had gone past frustration. She said, this is my answer. If I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I just want you to see how the thing is accurately portrayed so that we can participate by doing the not the procedures, by doing the request of the heart that connects with the heart of the giver. See, I'm not just trying to create beggars and people that demand. Those were the people in that was thronging him. They were all trying to get theirs, whatever theirs was. But she had didn't it say that? She had conversations with God. She didn't have conversations about God. She was having conversations with God. And she got this information from God that if I can do what it says in Malachi, that the Son of Man will arise with healing in his wings. See, there's another a scripture that was in Leviticus that she would read and have as a connection to that. See? That's what separated the priest from everybody else. They had that power to be released in that pomegranate, in the hem of the garment. And so she had gone there, understood that, had revelation of that. So these conversations with God were conversations in faith, not because of fatigue. She passed that. She had passed trying to buy her healing because she had already spent everything that she had. I'm not just talking about a person that was desperate. I understand that concept. She was past fatigue. She was past trickery. She was sincere that this is my path to victory. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she didn't even say, I'll be healed. See, when you hang around with God, you get a God-sized revelation. She had gone past being healed. This revelation, because of the conversations with God, she said, this, I can be made whole. I'm not getting a Band-Aid here. I'm getting a do-over. Whew. She said, and then she, the confirmation says, straightway. Come on, y'all. Because of the connection faith to faith, there was now no time and distance between the request and the manifestation. She said, if I but touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. And straightway. Okay, you can do it this way. While she was reaching, virtue was being imparted. Straightway. Everything began to line up and move towards her because of the connection face to face. Not only did straightway the fountain of her blood dry up, and she felt in her body the things she'd been saying in her heart. She began to feel them in her body. Come on, y'all. I just look at that. See, the possession of your blessing starts with the connection of your heart. Yeah, you can write that one down. The possession of your blessing starts with the connection of your heart. If your heart is not connected, you won't be holding the blessing. You'll still be wishing for the blessing. Everybody else out there were touching, and they did not receive because the manifestation could not come to, I wonder if God is going to. I sure need God to. She had passed all that. And she said, no, I have one purpose, and that is to do what the revelation told me to do. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt this in her body, that she was healed of that plague. And immediately, just so that you can see, the connection was so real, straightway and immediately, we got an and suddenly taking place right now. When you can connect with God at this level, there is no delay anymore. There becomes the and suddenly moment that God intended for your deliverance, for your breakthrough. And immediately, Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked about to see her. I just want you to get that. He didn't look, he asked for a who, but specifically in the spirit, knew that it was a her. And you could say that the knowing came because there was a healing for issues of blood. I can get that. I ain't got no problem with that. I would like to be that sensitive in my walk, that I would know what the answer that just left my spirit was going. There was one time this has happened in my life, that I was praying and I was just interceding, and I knew in my spirit that that specific prayer time was meant for someone in Marietta, Georgia. I mean, I knew that. I did not know a name. I didn't know a condition, but I knew that that was for someone in Marietta, Georgia. And all I can do is rejoice that God even opened up my understanding that it was that pinpoint that I said, Father, I thank you that you allowed me to participate in something that I could know the answer has been sent to Marietta, Georgia. Just like he sent his word to heal and deliver, I understood that principle that the word that was necessary for whoever that was in Marietta, Georgia, they deal just got settled. I would love to be that sensitive that Jesus knew not only because of what happened, but who it was that received it. Because he said he looked around in a thronging crowd, a grab me, please bless me crowd. I mean, that's what crowd you see here. It's a please bless me crowd. And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, thy faith, active connection, looking for an answer from faith, not just looking for an answer from a person. Because a lot of times we go and we want to talk to sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, because we will even state the words, I believe you have a word for me. Well, if a word is what you're looking for, why don't you get the word straight from the horse's mouth, if you would? See? Because faith connects to faith. Doesn't have to bypass a person. That's something that we are going to have to renew our mind in. Because, again, when you sow the seed in the spirit, you receive of the spirit. You didn't receive of the person. But if I'm going to go and look for the person to be a blessing, I don't know all of what you're going to get. Okay? Oh, I've got no problems with, and if we lay hands on them, they shall. I got no issue with that. That's 100% accurate and still in play. But we've got to decide that we're going to grow up. We need to be the people with the pitcher instead of the people looking for the pitcher. We need to be able to, out of our bellies, let rivers of water flow, not in our hands collect the flow. I mean, it's time. You can see the world needs a touch, so then we need to be a dispenser of that so that they will know that there is a God alive in the earth today and concerned about the things that touch them. There was an active exchange here. Okay? That's where we want to get to. That's why we ask the question, is pleasing God the most important thing? He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. New instructions. Go in peace. She came over in verse 33. She was walking, functioning, even after a healing, y'all. Even after a healing, she was functioning in fear. And the woman, fearing and trembling, thinking things like, okay, I got my blessing, but God don't take it away. And the reason why we would think that is because we don't think we deserve it. Jesus took care of that issue earlier. I think it was Luke 17 when the woman was bowed over and Jesus healed her. And after the healing, he asked this question to the people that was all judging. And he said, should not this daughter of Abraham? See, he said, see, y'all not understanding family business here. Y'all still function of under the place where I don't deserve the healing. I don't deserve the breakthrough. See? So then if I get something that looks like a breakthrough, if I get a reprieve, not even a breakthrough, if I get a reprieve, I don't know if I deserve it. So I think I'm going to lose it. and that I don't go in peace. I leave in fear because I don't think I deserved it. So then God's going to take it back. If I do anything look like wrong, if I look at somebody wrong, there goes my healing. There goes my breakthrough. No, 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 no. The blessings of the Lord make it increase, make it rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. See, it just requires a renewing of the mind so that I can say, okay, now, I'm the one that's going to leave. Come on now, come on now. Ooh, I'm the one that's going to leave, and I'm going to be able to give testimony. That's what he told the demoniac that had 12 legions of demons in him. He found the man. The man came to him and said, Lord, have mercy. And Jesus said, well, okay, yeah, I have mercy. I'm full of mercy. Here you go. And he commanded the demons to come out and jump into the pigs and went out and drowned themselves. And then the next time we see the man, the Bible says he was clothed and sitting in his right man, in his right mind. And he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. No, don't do that. We can't work it that way. What I need for you to do is go back into the city where everybody knew you was a crazy man. Everybody knew that you were cutting yourself, that demons had control of you. Go back and show them how great things the Lord has done for you today. He made the man a preacher. Yeah. Okay, let's just go on and throw this out there since we're there. He made the man that everybody else thought was crazy and completely undeserving, he made him a preacher. Told him to go tell. See? So he gave the man, he gave the woman the same thing. I need for you to go with a different change. Go in peace. Go. Come on, let's read the rest of it. For thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. In other words, he's already telling him, I know you don't know how to function in that. I know you've never experienced it. For the last 12 years, you have been tormented. You haven't even thought correct for the last 12 years. This has been on the front of your mind. Day and night. Going to many doctors, suffering many things, spending all her money. I know this is new for you, but now I need you to walk in peace and be whole of the plague. Your thoughts now are not, here come, these were the symptoms before, and now here they come again. No, no, you have to be whole of the plague. You're going to have to resist the devil when he tries to come. And then God says when you do that, he's going to leave in a hurry. I remember as I was learning some of the tenets of faith that I had an issue in my body. I L4 and L5 in my back was causing all kinds of issues. And so I would sense the pain and the sensation start in my toe, they would creep up my leg, they would end up in my lower back, and then it was kind of like over. There was tears in my eyes, okay? I was in excruciating. I was hurting so bad my hair hurt, okay? It was just pain, pain, and more pain. And so then I'm learning the tenets of faith that I have the ability to declare and decree a thing and it'll be established unto me, that I can call those things that be not as though they were, that I can trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. He will show me how to walk out of what I used to walk under. Glory to God. And so then I started hearing these tenets, and I knew what my responsibilities were. I was on 285 and in between Camp Creek and Washington Road, and I was going, and here come these tingles all in my toe. And I started, in the name of Jesus, you will not come nigh me. Because I am bought with the blood of Christ. I am sanctified, sealed by the Holy Spirit. I started quoting what I knew, what was being built up on the inside of me. It started coming out and making room for me. So then as I started doing that, it probably made it to my thigh. And I'm serious, I'm at this thing. And I felt in my body the whole thing turn around. I felt that same pain. Go back out, turn around, go out down my thigh, past my knee, down past my shin,
out my toe and out the car right there at 285 in Washington Road. I knew exactly what just happened. And so I said, okay, that's what you want then, Lord. This is the way this functions. I corral my thoughts and make your, I put this mind in me that was also in Christ Jesus. I let it be active. By his stripes I am healed. Not by his stripes I'm going to be healed. He himself took my sickness and my disease, took my infirmity, took my weakness, took my tears and my pain and my grief, took them. So why I have to go through the experience that causes them to stay? That's okay, then that's got that, buddy. You can forget that one. It was a song in my day, love don't live here anymore. Well, pain don't live here anymore. You got to go. I'm now officially resisting you. While I walk in truth, while I walk in the blessing of God, while I sojourn in the land of promise. Beloved, he's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding. So if my trial is a big trial, that's okay. I've got an exceeding great promise. In fact, I don't have an exceeding great and precious promise. I have exceeding great and precious promises. Glory to God. 1-800-PICK-A-PROMISE. PICKAPROMISE.com. Whatever. He promised that he would prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He did not say, I will prepare a plate. If he prepared enough so that I would be filled, nothing missing, nothing broken, I will be at peace. Okay? So I begin to participate in the plan of God. How? By aligning my thoughts with his will, with his words. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's where you find the man. So I begin to take my thoughts that were meant for conduit to the end that they were to release the power of God. God's word that's active in our life moves me from glory to glory. This is where I got back to where I didn't circle back around. Now I'm back in my notes. It moves me from glory to glory while walking from faith to faith. This is what I was wanting to explain. I just spent maybe about 30 minutes explaining that. I stand in glory. I've called to be in glory. I've been crowned with glory. And when I begin to make the word of God active, it takes me from one level of glory to a higher, another level of glory. I can receive more understanding for the trials I didn't even know were in front of me. See, sometimes we fight the demons we see. But what about the enemy? I can't see that enemy. I've been in covenant with that enemy. I've been so accustomed. Okay, there she is. 12 years, she was accustomed to this issue that she had. See, she was familiar with all of the ins and outs of that issue. But she had to come to a place, well, no. This day, I'm going to be made whole. She agreed in faith with faith. And faith confirmed what she agreed with. Because she didn't ask for a healing, she asked for being whole. And Jesus' words were to her, you are now made whole. The conversations that were happening in heaven have now been confirmed on the earth. Thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. And she connected with that. So now Jesus says, you are whole, be whole, function in it. See, so she went from glory, she went from the glory of seeking God to the glory of walking in God's victory. Okay? See, there should come a time where we grow up, where we no longer have to keep begging and asking, but we can walk from the glory of request into the glory of manifestation. And now, because of that, I have the I go from faith to faith. Now I can walk away from the things that surrounded me. I can walk out of the things that were surrounding me, and I can now be a witness to other people that are going through what I've been through, what I'm through with. Just like he told the children of Israel. He said, the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more forever. So now I can help people because of what I've been, what I am through with. Going from glory to glory and from faith to faith. If thoughts are not brought into the proper landscape of your destiny, they will produce doubts, unbelief, worry, fear, confusion, accusation, pride, envy, strife, and all the works of the flesh. Because I haven't dealt with them. I haven't been whole, been made whole of the plague. I don't sense in even my body. You know, I used to think that we're going to have trouble in the flesh till we get to heaven. But he says, no. There is a place that you will have your senses exercised to know the difference between good and evil. Your senses will know the difference. That's my flesh, isn't it? My flesh will begin to reject the attempts of the devil. My flesh will. Because I'll be the one that's taking strong meat that belongs unto the heirs of salvation.
I know. I happen to have wanted to believe the word, so I just go there and see it, and then I say, oh, God, this is what we've been looking for here. So that we can keep the devil back away from the things that he's been trying to keep us out of. I can say, no, not no more. You can't get this to function in my life anymore. Because you have kept me back from flowing in the grace that I'm already called to. You already stopped that. And so since I'm no longer going to participate in those things that you have blocked before, because God called me into flow. He called us into flow. Okay? And so we've got to function from there. Let's look at this so you can just see that. Hebrews chapter 5. Starting at verse, starting at verse 9, going to the end of the verse, end of the chapter. It says, Jesus was made, though he were a son, he learned obedience to the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. All right, I want you to kind of remember that the process that we need to go through is the process of maturation. That's what that word is, okay? Being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him, called of God at high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom he had many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. The problem is not that the word is not available. We are dull of hearing. For when the time for you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such, that have need of milk and not strong meat. You used to eat meat. You used to believe God for things, but because they kept coming back and you didn't hear the word where he says, be whole of the plague. You went back to eating, drinking milk. He didn't even say you went back to drinking milk. He said you went back to being in need of milk. I don't even know if you're drinking it. You're just in need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's become a babe. He's reverted back. Babes drink milk. Okay, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Babes use milk.
Because if I go to the point where I, I'm seeing differences here. He said, if you drink the milk, sincere milk, you will then grow thereby, won't you? So something must be wrong with your milk diet. You're not even drinking it. You have need of milk, but you're not growing. It says you have need of milk. If you would drink the milk, at least you would grow thereby, if it's sincere. For everyone that uses milk, you reach for the milk. Okay, all right, all right. You reach for the Lord is my shepherd. So you reach for that. What should be done is you should build on that, because even that scripture has the building principles of the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will not want. He makes a table before me. So you should build on it. You should not just keep reaching for the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. See? You're supposed to be growing and building on it. You would be, yeah, surely, goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. See, I'm no longer just reaching for the milk. Even in that serving where I thought milk is what I needed, I grew up right then and said, no. I got a surely working here. Surely, goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Surely, I'm going to abide in the house. Well, since I'm abiding in the house, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are safe. Surely, I'm safe. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. He's giving his angels a shot. I'm growing in it. At least I'm not reaching for milk. I'm not using milk. Oh, milk. The Lord will forgive me. The Lord knows my heart. That's using milk instead of deliberately, on purpose, adding to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance and to see. I'm now using and growing thereby. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. My decisions are no longer the devil made me do it. My senses know the difference now. My flesh says, no, not anymore. We don't do that. We used to do that, but that's not the way we live now. We reach for the word of righteousness. That's going to make me equipped, fully functioning. I'll be ready for every good work. These are the things that the body of Christ has to grow up in. See? I don't see the ability to waste time trying to deal with things that are not causing me to be victorious in my life so that I can give information to those who God sends me. I will give a reason to hope of those that God sends to me. I won't be stuck in the place where I don't know what we're going to do. That means I'm not of full age. I'm still those that think that, you know, whatever going to happen is going to happen because the will of the Lord, the will of the Lord will prevail. No. I exercise by use. See? I don't stay a baby needing pastor to hold my hand. I have no problem with having a hand. See, there's a difference, y'all. I have no problem with the hand of agreement. But when he has to hold my hand, I'm still a babe. I'm reaching for milk. The hand of agreement is a little bit different. We have the right hand of fellowship. That means we are of the same spirit. We walk in the same thing. See, I don't just get stuck back here with reaching for a... Come on. Peter had walked on the water, but he didn't think he deserved it. Understand how to do it. And so then beginning to think, Jesus did what he had to do for a baby. even though he had just walked on water. Excuse me. He had walked on water in a storm. Come on, y'all. I mean, that's a whole other place. I mean, just give me a lake that's completely placid. Well, I can walk on the water. That don't look like you did nothing. When you're walking on the water in a storm, now you have something at least to go back and reference, don't you? Okay? So then we have to begin to ask questions. And the first one was, is pleasing God the most important thing? Because when that's what's on my heart, then I don't have to worry about my victory. It's guaranteed. I'm not going to get through this. That'll be part two next week. Thoughts that are not brought into proper landscape in your destiny. If I don't give the word place, okay, come on, y'all. See, we have to give the word place. In other words, my landscape, the things around me, are going to have to be placed words of deliverance, placed words of faith and encouragement, placed words of hope. See? I'm going to have to put them there. That's going to be my landscape. When I look around, that's what I see. Just like the mountains that surround Israel, I need to see that he will not be moved. They are there to make my landscape. Not just make my surroundings. Come on, y'all. Not just make my immediate surroundings good. He said he wants to change my landscape. As far as my eyes can see. That's what he told him. I've given you this land. As far as you can see. As far as the east is, I've given it to you. I want you to change your landscape. A man that has a large landscape will be able to affect all of that landscape. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That would be the beginnings of my landscape, because I can enter into worlds without end, worlds with an S. If I would go ahead and go from glory to glory, the glory of my house is one level. Then I can go to the glory of my community. Then I can go to the glory of my city. Then I can go to the glory of my region. Then I can go to the glory of my state. Then I can go to the glory of my country, that I can go to the glory of the world, because the world is looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not my city, not my nation, the world. All, now do better, all of creation. How's that for enlarging your territory? How's that for raising your landscape? All of creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, when I change the landscape of my destiny, then all of the systems that God has given me to turn things around will stop all of those doubts and worries and unbelief and fear, confusion, accusation. And all the works of the flesh. I won't have to deal with my flesh again. My flesh has been trained, exercised to know the difference between good and evil. My flesh. The thing that was giving me hell is now going to work for the glory of God to be released. Because I've exercised by the word of God a new thought pattern, a new desire. Did he not say, if I would simply delight myself in him, that he would then give me new desires? He will give me the desires of my heart. They do not come out of the surroundings that I've been involved in. They will come out of my heart. New desires, greater desires, more impactful desires. He told Abram, he said, come on here. I'm going to make you great, and I'm going to make your name great. And in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Because I'm changing your landscape. See? I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you influence. Why? Because people need the understanding that I'm going to cause you to walk in, and it will influence their lives. It will change their landscape. God wants us to understand that we were created for his good pleasure. So then we should spend time finding out what pleases him. See, we were called unto peace, not to frustration. We were called to be a witness, not a lawyer. You shouldn't spend time arguing with God, trying to say, well, I can't do that. If he told you to do it, let's gear up and get it done. I mean, you ain't no sense in us being Gideon. Well, I'm going to check and see if this is the will of the Lord. If I wake up and the fleece is wet, then I know that was you. Oh, the next day is all wet. Oh, but then I just want to check that we were in. So if I wake up, if the fleece is dry and the ground is wet, then I know that the fleece. Let's stop doing that. When God gives you an understanding, an unction, and supports it by Scripture, I am not looking for emotional unctions any longer. I am interested in sound, biblical unctions that are supported by Scripture, because he has elevated his word above all things. So your feelings, your emotional unctions, I ain't interested in it. I need for you to be able to give chapter and verse. Otherwise, you're still dealing with the milk of the word. I'd like to do this, God. I'd like you to do this, God. But then when you get to the place where you know that you can call those things that be not as though they were, I'm lining my heart up with God. I have the mind of Christ active in my life. Then I have the mouth of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. And because I have the voice of the Lord and the mind of the Lord, then whatever I say, I will speak to a mountain, and the mountain will pluck itself up and go cast itself into the sea. That's not a milkman that's doing that. That's a meat man that's doing that. That's one that has understood that what God has said, he wants to back up. He wants to give me the ability to execute that, because that's the only way he's going to have his power displayed. It's going to be through us. It's going to be as the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, let's go through it another way. The church is the pillar and ground of deliverance. Because when you know the truth causes freedom, makes free. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay. The protest is not the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is. And the church has not walked in its official position and righteousness. Because when we do, then all of the world will know that we are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of us. Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 28. See, they'll look up and say, whoa. We done bucked up against them long enough, and their God is involved in their deliverance. He does things that we've never seen before. He says, you know what, I'm going to tell you what, boys, you ain't got to worry. You in the fire, but I'm in the fire with you, and you won't even come out smelling like smoke. Your clothes will not be burned. Your hair will not be singed. Why not? Because I'm in this thing with you. I am your confirmation. You don't get that confirmation from a riot position, a protest position. It's different when I know whose I am. They that know their God, they will be strong. They will do exploits. It didn't say they will try exploits. It said they would do them. It's time out for us to continue to play church and drink milk. Come on now. It's time out for that. The world needs people that walk as the Apostle Paul walked. He walked in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And let them try to figure that one out. Why is it that we cannot destroy this unction of God that he's placed in their spirit, that he's birthed inside of them? Why is it that we can't stop that, that it just keeps on going and God keeps working things together for their good? How come that's not happening in the body? I would say because we haven't designed our minds the way God designed our spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Begin to design your body and soul by the word of God. Grow up. Exercise your senses to know the difference between good and evil. God's waiting on us to grow up in him. He's not waiting on you to embarrass you. That's what Jonah thought. And it's going to be an embarrassment because you're going to tell them they get off and they're going to look at me and say, God didn't do nothing. You got to remember what Jesus, the mind that's supposed to be active in you, is one that does not make a reputation for yourself. I'm saying what God says so that God would have words to confirm, so that God would have an avenue to release his power in the earth. When you watch what happened and what was set right by the children of Israel when the day of Pentecost came, the next thing you know, 3,000 in one day, 5,000 in another day was added to the church. And God wants to add to the church daily those that should be saved. See? He's interested in fulfilling the plan that he began back in Genesis 1 and 2. He wants to get back to doing that. That's the only way this thing comes to fruition. That's the only way it gets closed. When we look like him, Jesus is seated until all of his enemies be put underneath his footstool. He's seated until that happens. And we're the ones that's got to make that happen. So then we cannot go be politically correct and try to get that established. That's going to have to be established because his kingdom is ruling. His kingdom is increasing. I'm not trying to present numbers that show that I'm connected to all of the movers and shakers. I'm connected to the one that's the maker. Glory to God. I don't want to be connected to the movers and shakers. I want to be connected to the maker. Glory to God. See, now I can get things done because he who made it is the one who's going to maintain it. Ones that just shake this and let this be discovered, move that and let that be revealed. No. I want to be in conjunction with the one who made it, because when he says, thus saith, that's what it is. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you to purpose your heart to connect with him at a level that you've never done before, at a level that he called you to, so that he and he alone will get all the glory. It's not done by power. It's not done by might, but it is done by his spirit. Father, we just bless you. We just praise you. We thank you that you've given us a word that will strengthen us, that will cause us to walk from one level of glory and approach another level of glory as we walk by faith that works by grace, that brings us into the greater that you called us into. You said you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you that you're stirring us up to be able to walk as you intended, upright, Father, not behind shadows, not in darkness, not in fear, not in trembling, but uprightly, releasing the power of your word in every area of our life. We give you praise, sir. Give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. The redeemed said together, amen. 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 Well, now that comes the time, if there is any questions or comments about the ministry, I'm going to open the mic. And if you have any questions or comments, you can feel free at this time to bring them forth. Area code 678-571-9141. Mm-hmm. Area code 678-571. You have the mic.
Praise the Lord. Brother Steve, I cannot thank you enough mm-hmm. for that on-time word. I was thinking of Galatians 4 when it says, when the children were in bondage, that the scripture that I'm really focusing on, it says 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of time, and I feel this is the fullness of time, God sent his son, made of woman, not made of under the law, to redeem them who were under the law, and that they might receive the adoption of the sons. And as you were sharing tonight, it just blessed me because I know that he has sent you because this is the fullness of time. You know, and it just, as I said, I could just go on and on. It's just so much. I'm full. And I just want to thank you so much because truly you have met the not, I can't say requirement, you've met the blessing that the Lord would have by sending you to us during the fullness of time because it's here. And we, I thank you so much for it. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you for listening. Amen. That's what we're here for, is to allow the will of God to be understood because people have made it spooky and they stay away. Well, that doesn't help us get to the place of victory. We're going to have to do it according to his word and his will in his timing. And now is that time. Amen. Thank you. Area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Area code 404-453-2953. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being on the call, and I bless you as the Lord has released truths into your hearing. We are not responsible for them. So, amen. Area code 470-418-1818. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry today? Amen. Amen. Well, again, if the Lord is speaking to your heart about sowing a seed into this ministry, you can just go to the webpage. You can go to Live Deliverance, thank you, Lord, livedeliverance.com, and you will see the donate tab, and you can just open it up, and you can make your safe and secure donations right there. And because as we have poured out of spiritual things, it is only a natural response that you would give of your natural supply so that we can continue to do the work of the Lord here on Blog Talk Radio. So again, thank you for being a part. Until we get together next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face, his countenance upon you. May the Lord shine his face upon you, yes, and give you his shalom, his peace. So, amen. We'll look for you next Monday. Love you. Be blessed. Amen.